This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:07. This is the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. So there's been some news that I think many people have had questions about for a while now. It's just been announced that foreigners will be receiving free COVID-19 vaccinations along with Malaysians as and when that vaccination schedule begins.
For free?
For free, that's right.
Yeah, so it's an agreement in principle for now, and this will include pretty much everybody: undocumented migrants, students, diplomats, refugees, spouses, foreign workers. And essentially, Putrajaya gave the following reasons for coming to this decision. And I really love these reasons, partly because they're very matter of fact, but also I think it's important to know, right, how it was that this was arrived at. So a COVID-free environment can only be achieved when as many people are vaccinated as possible. It's a humane and humanitarian move. There have also been a high number of infections coming from foreigners, as we've seen, and the costs for treatment and quarantine would surpass vaccinations. And foreigners are part of the society that contribute to the Malaysian economy. And meanwhile, other countries are also vaccinating Malaysians residing in their countries.
Yes, so I think the reason I'm very happy with this news. I'm also, a part of me feels relief because the sort of sentiment against foreigners has risen a lot in the last year. And I'm glad that they understand the way in which we're all interlinked, right? But in terms of who and how they'll be getting these, the priority of who gets vaccinated first remains the same. The rough vaccination schedule that has been released by the government includes, so from March to May will be frontliners, and that's expected to be about 500,000 people. May to July will be the elderly and the sick, people who are 60 and above with comorbidities. This is estimated to be about 6.5 million people. And then from August 2021 onwards, it will be everyone else above the age of 18. This is estimated to be about 16 million people.
Yes, so we will be waiting till August, along with, I think, many, many other people. And I think one other thing that's worth mentioning is the reason why when we spoke about it, also there is a focus on migrants, on people who are perhaps undocumented, is because there's always been this concern about A, whether or not they would be included, and then if they are being included, whether or not there are any risks that as a community they particularly need to consider in coming forward. And I think that this is well warranted considering the kinds of reactions we saw when tests were being run. And again, they were assured that, hey, you know, come forward for testing, nothing bad will come from it. And that wasn't always the case. I think that there have also been questions, and just drawing a comparison to a country that has already begun its rollout in America, there have been concerns for undocumented folks there in showing up because they're worried that ICE, or basically the agency that would be responsible for deportations, they're worried constantly that ICE will actually be there, and that in coming forward and identifying themselves, they run the risk of deportation. So in terms of communicating to vulnerable communities and communities that we really absolutely do need to vaccinate, that coming forward is safe and that they can be assured of that, I think that's going to be quite key.
Yeah, I think that mechanism of communication is really important, and to work with organizations and partners who already work with these populations is really, really vital, because we're talking about people who, you know, class divides, language divides, and then there's that legitimate fear of perhaps having had bad experiences in the past, right? And just to say also that if at all, as a Malaysian, there's a concern, and I've heard this voiced before, why should we prioritize people who are not local? We have already secured more than enough vaccines to reach our vaccination targets. So our supply will include vaccines from Pfizer, from Russia's Sputnik vaccine, as well as China's Sinovac, and also AstraZeneca's in two different shipments from, and one of those will be from the global COVAX facility. So just to say, we don't have to worry that we have to miss out because foreigners are being vaccinated.
Yeah. And also, I mean, who do we live with, right? Who are our neighbors? Who are the people that we buy food from? Who are the people that we see as we exit our homes? I think, you know, just those sorts of questions, I understand, you know, I think that we've been talking quite a bit about vaccine nationalism, and that's sort of an extension of that conversation, right? It's like, A, which countries are going to get the vaccines? And then once it arrives, who's going to get them within the country? And we're all very eager and anxious, I think, for this to start happening. And so I can understand that, but which is why I'm glad that the government is also communicating the fact that they're part of society. They contribute to the economy. They contribute to our culture. And also other countries are vaccinating Malaysians within their borders. So this
I think that's a great point.
This is one of those kita jaga kita things that extend in all directions.
Kita jaga kita. And you know what? Actually just being practical about the whole thing when you come down to it.
Precisely.
But let us know what you think. Share your thoughts with us on this in terms of vaccinating foreigners alongside with us, the fact that it's going to be free, but also if you have questions about the feasibility of it, the vaccine rollout, are you excited? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking to Dr. Mohammad Farhan Rusli, who is the director of the Selangor Task Force Operation for COVID-19. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14 and this is the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. We have been talking about the recent news that foreigners will be eligible for free vaccinations for COVID-19 alongside Malaysians. And this includes undocumented migrants. It includes students, basically anyone who is residing in Malaysia. So share your thoughts with us on this. Tell us how you feel about the fact that we will be getting the vaccine soon. Latest August, if the schedule is correct. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on the line with us to talk more about this is Professor Dr. Mohammad Farhan Rusli, Assistant Professor in Public Health at UIA, as well as the Director of the Selangor Task Force COVID-19. Thanks for joining us again, Dr. Farhan.
Hi, good to be back.
So what do you think of this move to offer free vaccinations for foreigners?
Well, honestly, the bottom line, I think it's a great move. And I think it actually should have been the only move from the beginning. As you know, the Selangor government has previously for weeks been telling the federal government that we want to vaccinate everyone, the foreign workers, the migrant workers, because vaccination programs should be holistic and comprehensive. And it's good that the federal government has stepped up their ante and actually heard what we've been saying and actually recognized the need to vaccinate everyone. Because as we've been telling everyone over and over again, that the virus recognizes no ethnicity or race or religion. And the only way that we are able to achieve herd immunity, what we are trying to strive for, is that if we do not leave anyone behind.
So we spoke about this earlier and I wanted to get your comment on it because there is this existing fear from the migrant community, particularly people who are undocumented, that they might be persecuted for coming forward and getting the vaccine. What does the government need to do or to communicate to get over this hurdle?
I think the thing that we must understand first and foremost, and the most important issue here, is to get everyone vaccinated. Thus, a comprehensive engagement through various stakeholders, such as the UNHCR, who deals with our majority Rohingya communities, or other NGOs who may act as the intermediaries to provide the vaccination, these people should be the ones who the government must explore and include in this process. And I think that these people are the ones who have gained the trust of these migrant communities. And the only way that the federal government is going to be able to reach out to these people and get these people vaccinated is only through these people whom they trust. And this is the best platform that the federal government must show and demonstrate its willingness for its implementation of the whole of government and whole of society approach.
Dr. Farhan, before we move on to our questions, we do have a question from a listener. Philip Star Maria asks, he thinks that vaccination for foreigners is good, but he's questioning the fact that it's free because he says the Malaysian taxpayers are paying for it. I'd like to know how much we are paying for the vaccines. Don't tell me it's OSA or some such excuse.
No, I think it's like this. We are not able to discuss the vaccine costs per person, because I think it's been made very clear that a non-disclosure agreement has been signed by the federal government with the various vaccine providers. And to be honest with you, I don't know the price of a vaccine. Because even I think various other ministers in their ministries do not know the price of the vaccine due to the NDA. Only people who need to know will know the price. And because the costing for different countries, according to the different economies, are different. And I think this is to protect other countries as well. But to answer that question, you have to understand how these migrant workers and foreigners who are inside our country are an integral part of our economy. Excluding them will actually be more costly for us in the long run, because it affects our economy by not achieving the herd immunity. So in essence, let me put it in this way. Imagine if you were in Australia or if you were in UK, what if the governments of the UK or Australia told you that because you are not a British national or you're not an Australian national, we're not going to vaccinate you? How would you feel? Definitely you would be angry. And that's the way that we should see it, right? Because these people are here in our country, whether we like it or we don't like it. They do contribute to the economy, and these people need to be addressed. We need to vaccinate them, just like how every other country in the world is doing with their foreigners and their migrant workers. So there should not be an issue.
Now, Dr. Farhan, I think Philip's comment is probably one that is shared in some ways by many, right? Because there's this concern that, taxpayer money and the like, how can the government deal with potentially the negative perception that might come from this decision?
Well, we have to go back to the basics of public health. This is what I keep telling everyone, right? So the most important tool is the public health promotion and the understanding of the necessity to provide vaccinations to everyone. The reason why the caller like Philip is having this animosity against these things is because perhaps he doesn't understand the need for herd immunity or what actually herd immunity actually is, right? And this is where we have to understand that there is a direct effect of achieving herd immunity to the reopening of our economies, our tourism sectors, our construction sites, and all our other businesses. And in the end, if herd immunity is achieved only through vaccinating the migrant and the foreigners, people like Philip will actually benefit from the stimulation of the economy. And the only way we are able to do this is if we have great and effective risk mitigation.
So in terms of the rollout itself, it's still being refined at the moment. What are some of the key principles that the government should keep in mind so that it goes smoothly?
Oh, this is, I think, a really great question. And I think it's timely that somebody asked this question. The first thing I think is we definitely need a competent leadership. And what I mean by competent leadership, we need somebody who's strong, decisive, inclusive, and also outcome-driven, not being pushed by various other factors or various other notions on achieving this goal. We need holistic coordination. We need a one government approach where the federal government and the state government must work together seamlessly, and they have to be on the same page. And we need a national communication strategy, and this is very important, because a clear, uniform narrative from the government needs to be put out so that everybody knows the plan and everybody from the federal and state are saying the same thing, right? And this is the way that we can move forward. And one of the most important components, that the only way we're going to be able to achieve this in a most seamless manner, is through the digitalization of the vaccines rollout. And we keep knocking on the federal government's door, right? Because they have to pay attention and take a closer look to the app that has been developed by the Selangor state, like Selangor, which is actually already ready for you to use it for vaccine tracking, vaccine storage information, and also serve as an immunity passport. We don't see the need for you to reinvent the wheel and develop another app solely for the purpose of vaccination, as even this costs taxpayer money. Why not use existing local technology that is already readily available and for you to use this for your vaccination, national vaccination policy? Why not?
So I also wanted to get your take on the vaccine distribution. Frontliners will be getting it first, and then the elderly and those with underlying medical conditions, and finally the general public over the age of 18 right at the end. Could you comment on this rollout?
Right. I agree with this rollout completely because this is actually the most effective way of achieving the herd immunity and actually protecting those people who actually need it first. So the vaccine prioritization is actually excellent. And we see this being done in countries such as Israel, and they have achieved a really good outcome from this exercise that we're actually going to be using as well. But to reach this, to make sure that this happens, what the government needs to do now is actually to speed up the NPRA process, right? There is no need for you to keep reviewing everything that's been reviewed by multiple countries and multiple NPRAs in other countries as well, right? Why do you need to keep looking at the same information over and over again when other top scientists from other countries have done so, right? And then you could perhaps explore the avenue for state governments to also procure for its citizens and use the digitalization technology for its citizens and do this by providing a seamless integration. So instead of working against, they work in complement of each other so that you have better and effective vaccine rollout, you vaccinate more people faster, because it only in this way, because you have to understand, there's no one hero that's going to come out of this vaccination program, right? In the end, it's about vaccinating as many people as fast as possible. The faster we do it, the faster the economy opens. The faster the economy opens, the more we can move on and live on with our lives, and the more that we can start recovering properly from this whole pandemic. And I think when we put everything aside and set our sights toward a certain common goal, then we'll probably see the necessity for us to work together, regardless of what party, regardless whether you're state or federal, to achieve the same national outcome.
So we have another comment here, I think in relation to some of that. John's comment is the inoculation centres should have a priority in quota given to citizens rather than non-citizens, particularly citizens who are above the age of 60. Do you have any thoughts on that?
This goes back to our first question, right? Vaccine prioritization. Who should receive the vaccines first and how should we do it, right? So in the end, it comes down to telling you that the virus does not recognize whether you are a foreigner, whether you are a Malaysian, whether you are Malay, whether you are Chinese, whether you are Indian. The virus does not recognize that. But what it recognizes is people who are at risk. These are people who are above 60. These are people who have hypertension, diabetes. And these can be foreigners, and these can be local citizens. And because of the CDC Act, under our Kawalan Penyakit Berjangkit, those with communicable disease, even foreigners, when they're treated in the government hospital, it is being borne by the government of Malaysia. So if they are foreigners and you do not allow them for vaccine prioritization and they end up getting COVID, they end up going into category 3, 4 and 5 and end up in our public hospitals and in our ICU, the cost for them not to allow them to be first in line to get this vaccine is going to cost the government so much, much more. So when we talk about vaccine prioritization, we take into account the whole economies that start actually from vaccination, from hospitalization, and the necessity for us to vaccinate the high-risk group first. And there's a particular scientific evidence why this is so, because it's cheaper for us, regardless whether they are Malaysian or non-Malaysian or migrant or illegal, because it's going to be cheaper for the government if they vaccinate these groups.
So in closing then, if we look to other countries who have already begun rolling out the vaccines, are there lessons that we can learn?
Yeah, I think one of the most important lessons is this. Number one, a very strategic coordination in the vaccine rollout. So this is important because you want to vaccinate as many as you want, as many as you can, as fast as possible, right? And the way that we see it, the way how Israel has done it, many people are not going to be you know, happy that we keep using Israel, but they're actually the one with the most vaccinations done in place. But what we are trying to say is that we have to learn from what's good. And the way they've done it, they have done it in a most systematic manner. They've rolled it out as fast as possible, made it easy, made it seamless, so that the process becomes as painless as possible. And the time spent at each vaccination center is less than 3 minutes. And that's the thing that we would like to achieve. And this is the way that we have to move And this is the only way that we're going to be able to achieve those targets set by the government in their national vaccination policy.
Dr. Farhan, thanks again for joining us.
All right, thank you.
That was Professor Dr. Mohammad Farhan Rusli, Assistant Professor in Public Health at UIA and Director of the Selangor Task Force COVID-19. So we've been asking for your thoughts and we've got a couple of WhatsApps. Sylvester says, I just wanted to add that some foreigners actually pay a lot more in tax than most Malaysians who are in the top tax bracket. By definition, they are taxpayers too. I don't think it's wrong that they get the vaccine for free.
Yes, and then we have one of those people who has written to say exactly the same thing. So Sazlola actually, I think, called earlier, but we were unable to get to them, and says, I'm paying more tax than many Malaysians. I'm a foreigner, and they don't know that. So why should they say this?
That's a great point, right? I think we often don't think of foreign nationals as paying tax, but a lot of them are employed here and we tend to lump them all together into one category. And I think most of us veer towards thinking of them as undocumented or somehow not having quite a right to be here. A lot of them are actually taxpaying citizens who are doing jobs that contribute to our community.
I mean, yes, that's an important point. But I think the other thing is also to understand that social safety nets, right?
Of course.
The way that tax functions in and of itself. I just feel as if sometimes we expect our tax dollars to only work for us. And that goes against the entire principle of why it is that collectively we pay tax. Because otherwise, you know, it just doesn't work if we don't understand it in those terms.
Exactly. So on that note, let us know, what are your thoughts on free COVID-19 vaccinations for all foreigners in Malaysia? Are you excited about the fact that we will all be getting vaccinated soon? Tell us. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.